From Georgia Public Broadcasting, it's On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Father's Day tends to play second fiddle to Mother's Day, but we are dedicating tomorrow's show to Georgia dads. Well, first, we want to hear from you. How do you rate Father's Day on a scale of 1 to 10? And what's your favorite part of being a dad? You can call us at 404-500-9457. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook, and be sure to join us tomorrow at 9 a.m. for the conversation. For most of American history, food was segregated. The difference between where white and black Americans ate, shopped, and how they valued food was a bright line when Chef Todd Richards was growing up on Chicago's South Side. In Atlanta, he's made his mark as a James Beard Award-winning chef and owner of Richards Southern Fried. His new book, Soul, A Chef's Culinary Evolution and 150 Recipes, incorporates his personal story with reliable Southern recipes, some refreshingly creative ways to use basic ingredients, and a playlist. We're listening to some of that now. Chef Richard stepped out of the kitchen to join me this morning in our studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
So glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you grew up in Chicago, as I said, but like many African Americans, spent summers in the South with the family. So what kind of messages were you getting about or maybe even through food when you were growing up?
It is such a wonderful experience growing up eating delicious food, where every birthday holiday was always at our house and we were always cooking together. And the way my parents always brought other cultures into the kitchen and really relied on seasonings as a way to communicate a diverse palate was very, very important.
So you could tell that, even that at an early age, that was what you
found. I can tell that it was something just a little bit different about this dish, where you look at like a basic dish of red beans that my dad would turn into chili, but it was a little bit more cumin in it than before, and that progression of how delicious cumin could be.
So when did you become aware that this delicious food, you know, like it's like a fish swimming in water, this was just the food that was there, that it was different than the food that other people were eating?
I believe that it was really became the similarities of broth. When I look at ramen broth and collard green pot liquor, the similar tracks, or even French onion soup, you can incorporate into that, that broth, that nourishment that happens when you get that warm feeling inside of you. Chicken noodle soup is in that same America genre of deliciousness. That broth just invigorated the soul, and I knew that they were all similar, but the texture of the dishes could be different.
And you, of course, have incorporated collard greens, a traditional Southern element, ingredient in food, into ramen since then. When did that begin to kind of explode for you, making something that was traditional into something completely new?
I would say at an early age, my parents, my dad wouldn't throw any food away. So he required us, if we ate out, that something from leftover had to go on a table. My mom loved ramen or warming soups. And so we would have that on the table, and Dad will pull out the collard greens and heat them up. And that clashing of cultures of the vinegar and spicy collard greens on top of, you know, noodles with pork belly and soft-boiled egg and scallions was something that generationally might have been, you know, a little bit different, but for us, it was all the same.
Yeah, so it was like innovation, out of necessity?
I would say not only out of necessity, but also out of paying homage to our ancestors and saying that we work very hard to put this food on the table. We cannot just throw it away.
Well, this is your sermon on food, of course, and every good sermon is punctuated by a choir, and you have right. A playlist in this book. So right. Let's hear just a little bit. This is a Ray Charles rendition of Lift Every Voice and Sing.
In my bones, make me want to shout hallelujah.
So food and music for you. Where does that all tie together?
When we would cook at the house as a kid, music was on three levels. It was outside in the backyard. It was a different set of music in the basement and probably a different set of music in the kitchen or in the dining room. So you have all these experiences being intertwined. My mom on Sunday morning before church would always get up and start the day with Nina Simone or Bob Dylan or someone like that as well.
Well, so all of this kind of twirled together for you. Is there specific music that you hear when you're making specific meals?
That's a great question. I just allow the food to tell me what music to play. And if you look at bacon and the way bacon cooks, when it gets silent in the pan, it tells you it's ready. So cooking has its own soundtrack, you know, to its own. And food and music going together creates this wonderful experience. You never want to go into a restaurant with no music. You know, the silence is so deafening. But when you can pat your feet and have a conversation with the person in front of you, and the food is delicious, that's an entire hospitality experience that most people always want to have.
And maybe hospital experiences. You were talking about the healing nature.
Oh, man, the healing nature of broths are unbelievable.
Well, I was fascinated to learn that soul food is actually a northern concept. This is a northern name, or it's kind of was code, I think, for things that were black, you know, soul music, soul food. Do you think African-American chefs get typecast for cooking soul food?
Most certainly. There's a typecast, but there's typecast throughout the entire, you know, history of soul in general, that music is one set of genre in its soul. Food-wise, though, chefs do get typecast, but the techniques are such the same between French and African and, you know, being African-American chef in the United States, that the techniques run the same gamut. Mm. And now you see more chefs embracing our culture of soul food than ever before.
Well, it's interesting because so many foods have been used to convey, you know, racist imagery, you know, the sort of, like, I've seen the old postcards of the watermelon postcards. Mm-hmm. So how do you have a whole chapter here on melons.
Well, I believe that it is a... one thing is that watermelons are delicious, and they are versatile. I mean, you can use the rind for pickling. They convey flavor. You can puree it and make lemonade out of it. And in understanding that stereotypes are someone else's oppressive feelings on top of you does not mean that we should not eat delicious food. You know, just in understanding the concept that someone makes you feel bad for eating something delicious does not seem very American at all.
Well, you're completely unconstrained by heritage, it seems here. Like, you start with the basics, you know, collard greens and ham hocks in the beginning of the chapter, but then you go to ginger and collard green fried rice and, you know, spicy zucchini slaw. Move in all of these kind of directions. If this is your evolution, your culinary evolution, where are you trying to go?
Well, one thing I had to understand that economics of food means that the cuisines have to be on the same level playing field. You look at, you know, collard greens in the sense that the fat on top of it protects all that delicious pot liquor down below. And you look at duck confit from French cuisine, where the fat is protecting all the duck meat down below. So these techniques are absolutely the same, but we charge, you know, exorbitantly different amounts of money for them. So the evolution is really saying that this food has progressed and will continue to progress. That 1950s and 1960s terminology of soul food is only limited to one time period, and that the food will always continue to flourish and move forward. And it deserves a rich price because it does have a rich history.
So a lot more value for the food of traditional African-American cuisine. Todd Richards, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Todd Richards, is a new book is out now, and it's called Soul, A Chef's Culinary Evolution in 150 Recipes. We got a recommendation when we did our Bitter Southerner review of Southern books. Ecstatic review, and it is a beautiful book. You can find more at gpbnews.org.